Right now, we've got on director Casey LaScala to talk about the most highly anticipated movie of the fall. The Remaining comes out next week, September 5th, Friday, September 5th. Thank you so much for joining us, Casey.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. And so, you know, let me tell our listeners a little bit about the film. In it, Alexa Vega, Johnny Bacar, Sean Sippos, Brian Deschart, and Italia Ricci play a group of friends who gather for a wedding only to find that the celebration shattered by a series of cataclysmic events and enemies foretold by biblical end time prophecies. Again, our listeners, it's opening Friday, September 5th, probably the most highly anticipated movie of the fall. So, Casey, you know, basically, for our listeners, it's kind of like the rapture, right? In simplified?
Yeah, simplified. It's the rapture is the kind of the inciting incident, but it's really Revelation. It's kind of like the biblical end of the world, and it follows kind of how the Revelations describe the end of the world look like. So the inciting incident is the rapture. That starts right at the beginning of the movie, and where all the believers are taken to heaven, and all the rest of the non-believers have to endure what's kind of interpreted as 7 years of hell on earth. And so this is kind of the beginning of that 7 years of hell on earth.
Well, there goes the rest of my family.
Well, and so this is kind of like it's a spiritual film, but it's also a thriller slash a horror. I mean, that's a very unique, a unique genre mashup, isn't it?
Well, it is. And it kind of came together, you know, kind of a lot of roots kind of connected at the same time to kind of formulate this idea. Because when my father had passed away, you know, a few years ago, it was that kind of moment where he was on his deathbed and just kind of taking inventory in his life. And he wished he had done a lot of things differently. He wished he would have said things differently and had, you know, he was not really surrounded with friends and not that many family. And it kind of, that moment, it connected with me a lot afterwards. That was the biggest lesson he ever taught me was, you know, love the one you're with and really kind of, you know, take inventory in your life. So that was the starting point thematically of the writing of it. And then I was writing this movie called The Amityville Horror, which is like an updated version of, you know, the old house. And I was working with Jason Blum, who was my, you know, he's my producing partner in the movie. And he's the one who produces all the Paranormal activities. So I used to go to the set of Paranormal, you know, it was like the third one, and just kind of hang out. And I started thinking about what a global Paranormal activity would look like. And so these kind of two things came together, and then I started thinking about A Walk to Remember, which is a movie I produced years ago, mm-hmm. and that had a lot of, you know, a very, you know, strong thematic elements that I really, really love. And also, we had brought in a faith-based marketing team to kind of try to connect with that audience, and we created study guides, and it was really interesting and a really successful process. So kind of all three of these things came together. And I kind of looked at, wow, Revelations. Like, what would a global paranormal activity look like? And I remembered when I was a young kid going to church camp. I was, you know, confirmed in the Lutheran church. And I used to go to church camp, and the counselor used to talk about tribulation. And he used to scare me late at night. He just totally scared me. And so I'm like, wait a minute, Revelations. I was, you know, looking into seeing if there's a structure inside there. So when researching, and then I realized, okay, this is a kind of a roads, all these roads connecting. I'm going to do the beat right when the rapture happens and kind of make it a biblical run for your life as the world is ending. And that's how kind of it started. And then the whole faith-based, it being like a faith-based thriller, I said, you know, Walk to Remember, it was really kind of a valuable process. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, let me see if I can do it on this one. So I started thinking, okay, has there ever been a faith-based horror film or a faith-based thriller? And I thought, of myself, wait a minute, Passion of Christ was basically a horror movie.
Yeah.
And that's
for sure.
Okay, you know, and it's a horror movie. For the name, that's what it is. And I'm like, well, that worked. And so what I did was, like, when I finished the script, I gave it to Affirm Films. And Affirm is the Sony faith-based label. And they weren't sure. I don't know. They've never really been attempted before. And so what happened was they sent the script out to a few youth ministers across the country just to get a little feedback to see if there would be support on something that's a little hard-hitting. It has some real, you know, powerful dramatic elements. And they were excited to find that there would be a lot of support for this type of movie because it's a good story. I mean, I think it's just a cinematic story. It's a good story. And I really wanted to try to make it authentic as possible and really, you know, follow the rules and revelations. And I worked with a firm, and you know, to kind of make sure that it had that credibility. And so that's kind of how it came to be. That's kind of how it, you know, came to become like a faith-based horror movie.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I know Dave's got a question for you in just one second, but I do want to mention that we love Affirm films. We you know, Mom's Night Out, one of my on my top list, best list for the year so far. And last week we talked all about football movies in honor of When the Game Stands Tall. So we love Affirm films. So, Dave, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to ask is, you know, I have not seen the movie. I did see the trailer, and what was the message, or without spoiling the movie, if you can, was there a message he was trying to get out to the general public? Was it based on that moment with your dad of self-awareness and live present moment by present moment, and as well as really, like you said, take inventory and don't do the same thing over and over. Maybe do things that will, you know, enhance oneself and serve others. Was that the message?
Exactly. That and also what is your connection with, what's your faith? And you know, and it's important to, you know, make a connection with God, because the world can end at a blink of an eye. So the thing is, you don't know when it's going to end. You don't know when, you know, I've lost friends recently and it happens at the blink of an eye, and you just, you know, oh, wow, did they say everything they needed? Did they have a connection with God? Did they love ones they were with in the moment? And so that's kind of the message. And the movie has a very specific tone. It's not a horror movie. It's not a thriller. It's very character driven. I spend a lot of time with the characters analyzing their lives and they're trying to figure out why they're here. And they try to kind of figure out the connection they have with God. Some make the right choice. Some figure it out before it's too late, and some don't. And I think that's what, you know, in the trailer, I wanted to kind of have people say, okay, wow, this is, you know, what better, you know, example than the rapture to show that the world can end at the blink of an eye, you know? You know, so to make those connections now as opposed to waiting when you might not have a chance. And that's really what I wanted the trailer, you know, and that's the message of the movie. Yeah. You know, for the mainstream audience, I wanted to be, you know, love the one you're with, be in the moment, and you know, and live a good life. You know, for the faith-based audience, you know, what is your connection with God? It's time to make it.
Absolutely.
So that's what I wanted the movie. That's what the movie's about, with all the, you know, the plane crashing and, you know, all the things that are happening in the movie that are really dramatic and cinematic. That at the end of the day, I want the audience to walk out with this sense of, wow, I need to, let's talk about this, because the end of the movie is, you know, it leaves you numb. And I specifically wanted the audience to walk out numb. And I wanted them to walk to the parking lot and start talking about what they just saw and what it meant and kind of analyzing it. And that's what's been happening. We've had a lot of impact screenings. And I don't know if you've seen some of the Twitter shots of some of the exits of the screenings. You have people hugging each other, crying in the lobby, you know, and really kind of taking inventory in their life. And I think that's really what I wanted. I wanted it to be a movie that would cause people to question and start talking about their faith and really, you know, kind of hopefully introduce those themes into their lives.
Right. And I have seen the movie, and I, you know, I know that you follow Revelation, so I'm going to like pose this as, if this stuff actually does happen, these, you know, people basically fall down and their spirits leave them, and then there are the remaining, as the title suggests, and the things that people are going to have to deal with are fire and ice falling from the sky. I mean, this hail, the special effects in this movie are amazing. So, you know, I do not want to be around for this stuff if this actually happens, you know, as it does in The Remaining and as you followed from Revelations. I mean, I have to say, spectacular special effects in The Remaining.
Yeah, and there's a kind of like two movements in the movie. The first half is almost like a disaster film. It's like, you know, the characters are just trying to find safety. And then the second half, obviously, is when the abyss is opened and the fallen have been released on mankind, you know, and these are described in Revelations. You know, they're specifically here to torment man, and that's what they face the second half of the movie.
Now,
so there's really two movements in it.
Let me ask you this. As you were writing this and making this movie, did you have a marketing slant to it as well, that you would bring in a different audience, not just the faith-based audience, but perhaps the people that like the special effects and like more of the horror touch type of scenes and movie type of setups. Is that part of what you were thinking too, is to bring in a whole different audience and get them to start looking at the faith-based stuff?
That was the plan, and this is specifically written to be a faith-based thriller. But I wanted to be enough in there for the mainstream audiences to go and value it just as, you know, as pure entertainment. And then I'm sneaking in all of the message. And so I'm hoping that, you know, with all the special effects and with all the, you know, the thrills, that the mainstream audience, there's a takeaway, as opposed to just, you know, oh, that was really entertaining. There's a takeaway and like, wow, I really kind of need to start thinking about myself and where I am with my faith. And so that's why there's a nice balance. And that was really the difficulty of shooting it, was finding that balance. I didn't want it to be so heavy handed that a mainstream audience would just go, oh yeah, great, Casey, you know, we don't really feel like the church right now. And then they completely turn away from it. Nor did I want to, you know, have not enough, you know, interesting faith-based themes. The faith-based audience says this is not a faith-based film. There was a balance there. And I think all the people that have seen the film, the mainstream side, that are, you know, that really, you know, more the secular side, they have all said, wow, I thought this was going to be a faith-based film, and I really didn't, you know, feel like it was heavy-handed. So their impression of it was different after they walked out of it. So that's, I really wanted that to happen. I wanted to expand into the kind of the mainstream world. So, you know, because I think there's the thing that I love about this type of film is, you know, a lot of horror thriller films, there's not a lot of message in it. You know, it's really kind of gratuitous violence. And if this genre can kind of take off where you can complement it and you can render, you know, a really valuable lesson or, you know, some thematic stuff, but also entertain. And that's what I'm really trying to achieve.
I'm really looking forward to seeing this film. I do like the faith-based films as well. So this will be interesting for me. To see it from a different perspective as well, you know, with the horror faith film, I guess you could call it. You may have started a movement. This might be interesting to see other writers, directors. Yeah, this could be really good. Now, it's on topic, but a little off topic. You've heard of Paul Simon, right, the musician?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you mentioned a couple of times, love the one you're with, and I'm just saying, is that opposed to 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover?
Love the one you're with is from
that's the 60s. I think that's Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
Yeah. Great music. But anyway, you did say Love the One You're With, I believe. So it brought me to Paul Simon, and I go, wait, that's a little different meaning. But nevertheless, I thought it was funny. Okay.
Well, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I just want to mention it again briefly. You also have Amityville coming out beginning of January. It's actually like the first movie that releases officially in 2015. So we're all really looking forward to that. We would love to have you come back and tell us a little bit more about that. Big fan of the Amityville horror franchise and all that greatness. And, you know, you mentioned Walk to Remember, one of my favorite films of all time, Mandy Moore. And
I'm working on it. Funny, the two things it's interesting is working with Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's such a talented actor. It's like Amityville. I'm really excited to kick off the new year. But there's two other projects that I'm really excited about. One is an adaptation of this book that has to do with. Do you know the story Clouds? Do you remember that viral? It went by the boy Zach, who's 17. He died. And he had cancer for, like, you know, 4 years, and he ultimately died. And he wrote this music video about, you know, his kind of his goodbye.
I don't recall.
Saying goodbye. It went viral, like, last year. It went all over, and then all the celebrities kind of did, you know, kind of their interpretation of the song. And anyway, his mom wrote an amazing book, and I just got involved in that. And that's a very, very faith-based. A very Walk to Remember. He has, like, he's 17 years old, and he knows he's terminal, and he's in love with his girlfriend, who's 17, and it's all about, you know, those kind of, you know, those pieces in your life, saying goodbye, and I just got involved in it. The book was just given to me, and something I'm going to adapt, and it's so powerful. I was reading it the other day, right across my wife. We were both just cheering up, but again, it has that, you know, it's that faith-based, and it would be definitely, like, in a kind of an affirms film type of film, and I'm really excited about that. With the and then going the complete opposite I just finished the next thing that I'm going to direct, which is called, you remember Heaven is for Real?
Yes.
Okay. I'm doing Hell is for Real.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. And that's so breaking news here live, 1480.
That is breaking news. That is breaking news. It's something I wrote. I just finished it, and it's really, it's kind of, it's in the same lane. It's a real scary movie that deals with a lot of these things.
Wow.
I can't wait for that. That sounds great.
Yeah, so we'll see. This is a new kind of a new genre, and I'm hoping that everyone embraces the film, so it opens up more, the ability for people like myself and other directors and writers to kind of get these types of projects moving in Hollywood. It's not that easy. This is a definitely a hard process to go through, and I'm hoping that this opens up the doors for us to do more of these types of films.
Oh yes, and everyone needs to go out and see The Remaining. It opens Friday, September 5th. Again, one of the most highly anticipated movies of the fall season. So go check it out again. Friday, September 5th, the movie is called The Remaining. And, writer-director Casey LaScala, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I know that it's Labor Day weekend and you're out and you're probably going to have some fun, right?
I'm actually sitting in a hammock. I'm at El Capitan above Santa Barbara, and there's families running around, and my family's staring at me from across the fire pit right now.
Are you gonna climb up the El Capitan?
No, it's not the one in Yosemite. It's a park. It's a park right across from the ocean. There's cabins and tents, and there's people everywhere. But I'm just swinging in my hammock talking to you guys. It's a perfect day. It's a nice day.
Well, and we really appreciate you taking some time out of that to tell our listeners a little bit about The Remaining.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.